Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Soita Daf Mem. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 15 lines from the top. You will notice a house shape around the expression Meiresh, Amar Rabbi Avo, Meiresh Hava Amino Laho. And before we go on, I should point out that mistakenly we stopped our previous shiur basically two lines prematurely. In our previous shiur, we were discussing the practice that some had of reciting verses while the Kohanim were blessing the congregation. Rabbi Avo reports that Meiresh Hava Amino Laho. At the beginning, I used to say those verses. Kevan de Chazino Le Rabbi Abba de Min Ako de Lo Omar Lahu. When I beheld that Rabbi Abba from Ako did not say the verses while the Kohanim were blessing the congregation, Ano Nami Lo Amino Laho. I followed Rabbi Abba, and I, too, stopped saying those verses. As far as what verses are we speaking about, that was all part of our previous shiur. Hence, my reference to our having stopped a bit prematurely. However, what we do benefit from by that mistake is noticing this marking, this house marking. It's featured on the side under the Nosei / Mivneh heading. Omar Rebbe Avo, Han Ogois Umachshavois Sherebi Avo, Lifnei Shiro Es Rebi Abba Demin Ako. These are expressions on the part of Rebi Avo regarding what he used to think before encountering Rebi Abba from Ako. And you'll notice that we're using a double underline to highlight these points. Let's see the Gemara. Let's continue with the Gemara. V'omar Rebbe Avo, Meiresh Hava Amina. At first, I used to think in Visona Ano that I am a person of humble spirit, that I live a life of humility. Kevon de Chazino Le Rebbe Abba de Menako. When I saw, though, that when I saw Rabbi Abba from Akko and his behavior and his conduct, I then understood something else. Now, what did Rabbi Avo see in Rabbi Abba Dimin Akko? The Omar Ihu Chataimo, Rabbi Abba was a leading rabbinic figure. He would lecture, he would give a reason, he would give an explanation to a particular point. The Omar Amore Chataima. And the Amora, this is a person assigned to saying over publicly that which the rabbi was teaching. So that the rabbi, in this case Rabbi Abba, would say his lecture. And the Amora would say it in a much louder voice so that the public could hear. But what happened is that while Rabbi Abba was offering his explanation of something, the Amora took the initiative of offering his own explanation, which you would think is a type of chutzpah. Here he has the role, the job of simply saying over that which the Rav is teaching, and he, on his own initiative, offers a different reason. And What do you think Rabbi Abba's reaction was? V'lo kopid, he didn't mind. Well, that requires an enormous amount of self-control using the attribute of extreme humility. In other words, for one to remain quiet, he would have to be the embodiment of anova, of humility. And having seen this, Rabbi Avol continues, Amina lav invisino ano. I am not truly humble. In other words, Rabbi Avol was reflecting upon himself that relative to others, I thought I was a humble person. But then when I saw how Rabbi Abba, the Menako, conducted himself, I figured, I'm no competition, so to speak. I can't consider myself humble anymore. The Gemara asks, "My invisinuse de Rabbi Abba." You can see what the double underlining were highlighting these, we'll say, these stories or these examples of humility. What was Rabbi Avo's humility? The Omra La Devisu, the wife of Rabbi Avo, told him, let me correct myself. The Omra La Devisu de Amore de Rabbi Avo, Lidvise de Rabbi Avo. The wife of the Amora, we already explained what an Amora's role was, the wife of Rabbi Avo's Amora told Rabbi Avo's wife, Ha didon lo tzorech le ledidoch. My husband doesn't really need your husband. My impression is that the wife of the Amora was saying to Rabbi Avo's wife, don't think that my husband is of any lesser stature than your husband. Ah, you'll ask then, why is my husband serving in this, we'll say, this servile capacity of serving as the Amora to your husband? V'hai degochin v'zokif alei, that which my husband bends over to hear what Rabbi Avo, what your husband is saying, and then he stands up and says it over publicly, Yakra be'alma hu David lay. He's doing it only out of a sign of respect. Oslo devisu, Rabbi Avo's wife then went, V'omro lay l'Rabbi Avo. She told her husband what the Amora's wife said to her. Omar lo, Rabbi Avo said to his wife, Umay nafka lech mino. What difference does it make to you? Mini umine yiskalis ilo. That between me and him, the Almighty Elah, the one above, Yiskas, will be blessed. In other words, we're both functioning in this world to increase the glory of the Almighty's name. So, you shouldn't mind what she's saying. Vesu Rabbi Avo, Imnu Rabbonon Ole, Lemimne Beresha. Here's another example of Rabbi Avo's humility. And that is that the Rabbonon voted, concluded, resolved to appoint Rabbi Avo as the head of the yeshiva, to appoint him to be the head. Kevon de Chazye le Rabbi Avo de Minako de Nefishi le Baalei Choyvos, when Rabbi Avo took note of the fact that Rabbi Avo carried a great amount of debt. He owed a lot of money to numerous creditors. Omar Lehu, so Rabbi Avo told those that had assembled to appoint him, Rabbi Avo, as the head, he says to them, Iko Rabba, there's a greater man than myself, and that is Rabbi Abba de Minako. Give him the position. And of course, Rabbi Avo was calculating that assuming the position of being the head, so he will become, let's say, enriched and be able to pay all of his debts. The idea of being the head and becoming enriched is explained by Rashi. You can see in the upper part of the Rashi commentary, the first half of the commentary says, Omer Rabbi Avo, Is Lon Rabba. There's a greater man. Chochom Godol Varoi, Leshe Barosh Yosumi Menu. A person who's a scholar and more fit for sitting at the head than myself. Kidei Shio Shivu Barosh, Venoislim Lo Monois. The practice had been that he was appointed to be the head, was also given funds, given money. He was made wealthy. And the fact of life is, the words of wealthy men are heeded. And that's what they wanted to accomplish. Kidisanyo, and this is based on a drosha on the Pasuk Vakeina Godol Me'achov. And we learn from that, in the Pasuk describing the Kohen Gadol, Gadluhu Mishel Echov. He is enriched, he's made greater through his fellow Kohanim. And that's what Rabbi Avo intended for the benefit of Rabbi Abba de Menacho. And I'm sure it's clear that Rabbi Avo, in doing so, was showing his own humility. Here we have an incident. You'll notice we have a long Maisa marking. On the side of the Gemara, we have an introduction, the Nosei, Maisa im Rabbi Avo v'Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, a story involving these two rabbis, Shebo Cholash Daito Shel Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. In this story, you'll see that Rabbi Chiya bar Abba became a despondent, al kach sheharabim ozvu shiro ba'alocha kidei lishmoa shiro sherabbi avo ba'agoda. The public left his lecture. His lecture was on halachic topics, and they preferred to listen to the lecture of Rabbi Avo, who lectured on agadic topics. Rabbi Avo v'Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Iklu lahu asra. Notice we have a long marking. This section is a story, is an incident with Rabbi Avo and Rabbi Chiya walking along, and they arrived at a certain place. Rabbi Avo dorash ba'agadata. Rabbi Avo lectured on agadic passages. Agoda being, we'll call it the lighter form of Torah learning, in the sense that it contains a lot of stories and parables. Not to think for one second that there isn't a great amount of depth to Agoda, but it's that type of study that can be, we'll say, appreciated or enjoyed, if you will, even on a superficial level. Even though, as we emphasize, there are very often hidden messages that require a great deal of learning and scholarliness in order for one to truly understand it. But nevertheless, Rabbi Avo lectured in Agoda, and Rabbi Chiya bar Abba dorash b'shmaitza. And Rabbi Chiya, his lecture in that town was concerning halachic matters. Shavkua kule almo le Rabbi Chiya bar Abba v'ozu le gabi de Rabbi Avo. The masses left Rabbi Chiya in favor of hearing Rabbi Avo's lecture. Cholash daite. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba felt bad. Omar lei. Rabbi Avo, in order to comfort Rabbi Chiya, says, Emshol l'chol moshol. L'ma hadover d'ma. I'm going to share with you an analogy. To what can this situation be compared? L'shnei b'nei Adam, echod moicher avonim toivois, ve'echod moicher mine sidkis. One is a salesman, a merchant of expensive gems, and the other sells mine sidkis, we'll say knickknacks, cheap items. Al mi koiftsim, lo al zeh shemoichem mine sidkis, upon whom do most people descend? Which kind of merchant is going to attract greater public attention? The one who is selling the knickknacks. Every item costs very little. Everyone's got some spare change. They'll go to his store. And hence, Rabbi Avoh says, my lectures are relative to your lectures, like the knickknack salesman next to someone selling expensive gems. So that your lectures are certainly far more valuable, more expensive. The fact that the masses are coming to me and not to you does not indicate any lack in what you are teaching. If anything, just the opposite. The Gemara goes on. It says, Kol Yoma have Melave Rabbi Chiyo Bar Abo LeRabbi Avo Ad Ushpize. Every day, it was Rabbi Chiyo's practice to accompany Rabbi Avo to where he was staying. Ushpize is the inn, the motel where he was staying. Mishum Yakro de Bei Kesar, out of honor to the Caesar's government, Caesar's house. Rabbi Avo was in effect in addition to his scholarliness, he was also a government official. So that he represented the Bei Kesar, the Caesar's house, and honor given to Rabbi Avo was in effect a type of honor to the government. Hahu Yuma, on that day when the masses had left Rabbi Chiyo's shiur, Rabbi Chiyo's lecture, in favor of hearing Rabbi Avo. So, Alvei Rabbi Avo, Rabbi Chiyo Bar Abba Adush Bizei. Rabbi Avo accorded Rabbi Chiyo the honor of having accompanying him, Rabbi Chiyo, to his place of dwelling. Ve'afilu hachi, and even with all of this, lo itoisiv daite mine. He was still not comforted. Rabbi Chiyo still remained upset. The Gemara continues. Of course, it goes without saying that this story was brought in simply to show another example of Rabbi Avo's humility, his attempt to deal kindly with others. And I think that you can certainly appreciate that incident. The Gemara now discusses the laws concerning what we call Moedim Derabbanan, and maybe more accurately than laws, but more so the text of this passage that we refer to as Moedim Derabbanan, and the Gemara will tell us how, in effect, the text that we have is really a compilation of suggestions for the text by a number of rabbonim. The Gemara, Bizman Shishliach Tzibur Oimer Moedim, when the Shliach Tzibur, the one who is reciting the Shmone Esrei after the public had said their Shmone Esrei, so the Shliach Tzibur goes over the Shmone Esrei, and he reaches the Modim Bracha. At that point, what does the community say? Amar Rav. And you'll notice that we have underlining in the next few lines. These are all texts, and each text, each subsequent text, Rashi points out, is a build-up, is an addition to the previous one. So we start off with Rav, Omar Rav, Moedim anachnu loch Hashem Elokeinu, al she'onu moedim loch. The Rashi says, al she'onu moedim loch, we express our praise, al she'nosata b'libeinu liyois devukim b'cha u'modim loch. We thank the Almighty for His instilling in our hearts the desire to be attached to Him. Let's continue. Ushmuel Omar, Shmuel adds, Elokei kol basar al she'anu modim loch. The Lord, the God of all flesh. And Rabbi Simoy Omer, Yoitzreinu Yoitzer Bracious al she'anu modim loch, describing the Almighty as the creator, the original creator of all, the one who formed us. Nardoi Amri Mishmei de Rabbi Simoy. Nardoi has their version of Rabbi Simoy. Rabbi Simoy we saw just a moment ago, and now this is their version. Nardoi says in his name, or let's say an additional point, Brochois v'hoidois l'shimcha agodol al shechisanu v'kiamtonu al she'anu moidim loch. Again, expression of praise and thanks to your great name, for you preserve us and enable us to live. Rabbi Rav Acha Bar Yankiv Misayim Bohochi. And here the final text that Rav Acha introduces, Kain t'chayenu uschanenu usekamtzenu usevsu gulisenu v'chatzris kodshecho lishmo chukecho v'lasa yisritzenecho b'lev v'sholem al she'anu modim loch. And this contains a prayer for hopeful future provision of life and kindliness. Gather in our exiles to your holy courtyard for us to observe your laws fulfill your will with complete dedication. Omar Rav Papa. Rav Papa, actually characteristic with Rav Papa, with his own opinion in many different places, Hilchoch Nimrinu Lekulhu. You find Rav Papa combining elsewhere, as you see over here, combining previous texts all into one. And if you follow all of the underlining here and read it straight through, you'll see what resembles our Moedim Derabonan. The next topic that the Gemara discusses is highlighted on the side under our Nosei topic heading, Ein Sod Ditzibura. Literally, having to do with the fear of the congregation, fear of the community. The Gemara. Omar Rabbi Yitzchok, the Oilem Te'emas Tzibur Alecha. A person who assumes some type of a public role, public lecture, leading the public in prayer, matters that relate to the tzibur, to the public, to the community. A person should have a sense of fear and awe in him. Sharei, and to illustrate this, Sharei Kehanim Pneim Klapei Ha'om V'Achoreim Klapei Shechina. To show the amount of honor and we'll say awe that one shows the community is the fact that Kehanim, when they assume their position for blessing the Tzibur, they go to, we'll say, the front of the synagogue where you have the Aron Kodesh located, which houses the Sifrei Torah, and the Kohanim, turn their backs, and this is what the halacha expects of them. They actually turn their backs to the Sifrei Torah, which the Gemara compares to the Shechina, to the divine presence, and they face the congregation. And it could very well be that when it comes to the Kohanim in the Beis Hamikdash, where they also would bless the Tzibur, the Shechina is said to dwell in the Kodesh HaKodashim, the Holy of Holies. And yet the Kohanim would have their backs toward facing the Holy of Holies and rather facing the public, showing how much concern and how much awe and respect that a person has to show toward the Tzibur. Rav Nachman Omer Mehocha. Rav Nachman offers his opinion. From where do you see this idea of Eimsa de Tzibura? Vayokom Amelech David Araglov Vayomer Shimuni Achai V'Ami. The king, King David, arose and he says, "Hearken unto me, my brethren, my brothers, and my nation." Well, make up your mind. Im Achai Lomo Ami. If brethren, if colleagues, then why the reference to subordinates? Vimami, and if you're referring to them as my nation, my subjects, Lama Achai, then why the reference to my equals, my brothers? Omar Rebbe Elazar, Omar Lahem David Yisrael, Imatem Shoimim Li, if you heed my words, Rashi says, Imatem Shoimim Li Shleimim Lamokim, if you are wholesome and complete to the Almighty, which is what I expect of you, Achai v'chavirai atem. You are, as far as I'm concerned, my equals, my colleagues. Almo hamelech. You can see from here that you're here dealing with the king. Emas tzibur olov im kshayrim heim. If the public are kosher, they're God-fearing, then he perceives them, he beholds them as being no greater than himself. Hence, an expression of Aim saw the tziburah. Again, to translate it as simply fear in the sense of one's knees shaking, I think it would be too simplistic. But it's a certain high regard, and hence we were using the term before, awe, in which one beholds the community. However, the im lav, we go on in the Gemara, ami atem vani rode eschem b'makel. If you're not going to heed my words and be, as we said in Rashi before, and be faithful to the Almighty, then I will rule over you with a stick. Rabbonan Amri Mehocha, a third source for the concept of Emsa de Sibura. The Tonu Rabbonan Ein Hakayinim Rashem Lavos Besandaleim Leduchan. The Kohanim, when they arise to the platform from which they bless the assembled, they are not to go there with their shoes on. V'zeu achas miteisha takonos shi'iskin Rabbon Yochanan ben Zakkai. And this is one of nine rulings that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai instituted. My taima. Why the insistence on the Kohanim removing their shoes before they arise to the Duchan, from the platform from which they bless the people? Lav Mishum Kovod Tzibur, isn't it as a sign of honor and respect to the community? Now, you're probably thinking, what does removal of shoes have to do with respect to the community? So the Rashi explains. Let's read the Rashi together. Lav mishum emsa de tzibura, mipnei shemistalkin begodov ha'asim lemidos bagbos yodov. First of all, imagine the type of clothing that the Gemara is describing would be clothing that that would reach pretty much the ground, and that would be clothing that would be like a robe or a type of wide pants that would cover one's shoes. However, when Kohanim would raise their arms, if you assume it was a type of gown or robe-like article of clothing, the raising of the hands would also cause the robe to rise off the ground as well. The Nirin Sandalov Litzibor, and their shoes would then be visible to all those present. Vehain ein ruin lir ois, but may titch alehem. Shoes often are muddy, filthy, and while the shoes are covered by one's clothing, fine, no one sees it. But specifically with regard to the kohanim, they raise their arms, raising the bottom of the clothing, exposing their possibly muddy shoes. That's not honorable to the public. So this is the thinking at this point, as to being an illustration of kovod or aim sovet tzibura. And hence, what's the takana? Go, the kohanim are to ascend the duchan without their shoes from the outset, so that when they do raise their arms, so you're not going to be exposing muddy shoes. The Gemara rejects this, though. Omar Rav Ashi, lo. This point, this illustration of Emsa Ditzibur is not really an illustration of Emsa Ditzibur per se. Hassam, there, the reason for the takana of Rabbi Honzake to ascend the duchan without shoes is a totally different consideration. If anything, it's a consideration for the Kohen himself. Because if Kohanim would arise to the duchan with their shoes on, Shema nifsika lo ritsua besandalo, you could have a situation where the strap that keeps the shoe on the foot snaps, it tears, it breaks, and then that Kohen will be fidgeting with his shoes, trying to make sure it doesn't slip off or what have you. The Hodar Ozu Lemikdere, he'll go and try to tie it, to repair it, to tie it, in the meantime, the Birkas Kohanim will be taking place. The Amri, people say, oh, the fact that he didn't participate in the Birkas Kohanim in blessing the community along with the other Kohanim, Ben Grusho Ben Chalutzahu, is probably a disqualified Kohen, being that though his father was a Kohen, his father married a divorcee or a woman that participated in the Chalitza ceremony. A child born from such a union, a Kohen with one of these women that are not appropriate, not fit for a Kohen to marry, so the child is rendered a non-Kohen, a Cholol, we call him. And all of this doubt and suspicion concerning this particular individual Kohen is all because he was fidgeting around with his shoes while the other Kohanim were blessing. And that is all solved, that's all avoided by making a rule that Kohanim do not go up there with their shoes. We look at Rashi. Dilma mifsika ritzua, ugnai hu liatzmo, and to have a broken strap would be degrading to himself. Umisloit simolov kishisandolo muteris, and people laugh at him when they see this untied shoe. The Yosef Lemikdere, and he, out of embarrassment, feeling that his shoe strap or whatever keeps it on his foot broke or snapped open, he'll sit down to tie it. The Chaver of Mivorchin, in the meantime, they're not waiting for him, and in the meantime, the other Kohanim utter the bracha, the benediction, or the blessing. The Ossi Lememar, and people will say, Eino Roy Linusius Kapayim, that guy who didn't show up with the rest of them, he's not fit to be he's not fit for the priestly benediction. He's not fit to offer it because he's not a Kohen. The Holach V'yoshavlo, and that's why he went back and sat there, not realizing that he was there fidgeting with his shoe because of his otherwise embarrassment having untied shoes where everyone else's would be tied. So as we said, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai instituted no Kohanim are to be there with their shoes, so there's not going to be any reason for them to fidget with a snapped strap. Uva Mikdash Brocha Achas, as opposed to three separate phrases, as are actually represented by the three separate psukim, three separate verses that comprise the priestly benediction in the Beis HaMikdash, they were said together, one after the other, without any breaks between them. In the standard synagogue situation, the verses that the Kohanim recite as that constitute the Birchas Kohanim are broken up into three sections with the community answering Amen after each Pasuk. In the Beis HaMikdash, though, only one continuous blessing without any breaks in the middle. The Gemara continues at the top of Omid Beis, V'chol kach lomo. And why was that? Answer, L'fi she'ein oinin omein b'mikdash. Because the omein response, the vehicle through which we signify a break, an end of something, the omein affirmation, is not recited in the Beis HaMikdash. Tonu Rabbanan. Here we have a Tanaic source that raises this question. How do you know that? Minayin shein oinin omein b'mikdash. From where do we know that omein is not recited in the Beis HaMikdash? Shenemar. Kumu uvorchu es Hashem Elokechem min ha'olam v'ad ha'olam. The truth is that this is it's a very vague response. Unfortunately, Rashi doesn't elaborate much on this. Rashi says she'ein oinin omein b'mikdash ve'ein kan b'mela hafsik. We don't have any means of separating, of breaking up the psukim into three separate phrases. Therefore, in the mikdash, we say it's one long bracha. And Rashi goes on to say, quotes this pasuk, Kumu uvorchu es Hashem Elokeche min oy levad oylam, b'sefer Ezra k'siv. This pasuk appears in the book of Ezra. Shekol bracha shehoyu mevorchem b'mikdash kachoyu mevorchem. The text of the brachas in the Beis HaMikdash were not like we say. We say, Baruch Atah Hashem Mogein Avraham. In the Beis HaMikdash, they would say, Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael Min HaOlam V'ad HaOlam L'Mogein Avraham V'chein L'Machayim Mehameisim. So that the bracha text in the Beis HaMikdash was different. You're probably wondering, well, okay, how does that show that you don't say Omein in the Beis HaMikdash? The Marsha offers an explanation. It's a somewhat elaborate explanation. Let us try to, let's say, hint to what the Marsha says, though we highly recommend to look at the Marsha commentary to see firsthand what he says. But in the Beis HaMikdash, the Bracha text alludes to this world and the higher world, the next world, the spiritual world, in the words min ha'olam v'ad ha'olam. The Beis HaMikdash was, as its name implies, a holy location. And in the Beis HaMikdash, we mentioned before, the ineffable name of God is used. The numerical value of that name comes out to 26. If you take the Yud and the He and add up the four letters that comprise that ineffable name, you come out with 26. The word Omein is actually a combination of the Adnus name of God that we use on a regular basis. It's a kinui. It's not the official, it's not the ineffable name. It's the way we read the four-letter name that one is not allowed to pronounce outside the Beis HaMikdash. And its numerical value is 65. The Aleph is 1, Dalet is 4, that's 5. Nun is 55. Yud 10, 65. 65 is the Adnus expression, numerical value. If you combine that with the numerical value of the ineffable name, you come out with its 65 plus 26, total of 91. 91 is the numerical value of Omein. So that outside the Beis HaMikdash, which is our world, our common life, you don't have a reference to the world of total spirituality, the other world, the heavenly world, if you will. So it's a place where we combine the pronunciation of Agnus, and the fact that the name of God appears in a written form, 26 numerical value, hence Omein is appropriate. However, in the Beis HaMikdash, which is, we'll say, represents purity and exclusively a higher existence, it's viewed as inappropriate to place emphasis or to even recognize, if you will, the Adnus expression. The Beis HaMikdash is associated purely with the extremely holy, ineffable name having the numerical value of 26. Hence, Omein, which combines the Adnus expression, which we use in our common existence, the Beis HaMikdash is simply a place that's inappropriate to make reference to it. Hence, Omein is said to be inappropriate for the Beis HaMikdash, and that's what is alluded to in this pasuk, which, as Rashi said, is the way we make brachos in the Beis HaMikdash, referring to not just this world, but referring to the higher world, where the name of Havaya, the four-letter name, is reigns exclusively. Let's continue in our Gemara. Uminayin she'al kol brocha brocha tehila. From where do we learn that for each brocha there is to be a praise or a response? Shenemar vayevorchu shem kevodecho umaroimim al kol brocho tila. And from this we learn al kol brocho brocho tein lo tehila. The Rashi says vayevorchu shem kevodecho ushar ha'om yanu boruch shem kevoid malchuso leolam v'ed shom oinin lehalel ulehodos. That in the Beis HaMikdash, after a bracha is recited, the response to a bracha in the Beis HaMikdash is Baruch Shem Kavod Machusel Lelam Vued. What one still has to acknowledge then is that the Baruch Shem Kavod Machusel Vued, it's true that it serves as a response to a bracha, but nevertheless, that is not the vehicle in which one would break up the three verses of the Birchas Kohanim into separate brachas. This issue is in fact taken up by the Tosfos here at the top of the Omid, so if you want to look into it further, by all means, study this first Tosfos. We continue now with the Mishnah, but before we go into the text, we glance at the side, the Nosei, the topic heading, Kriyas HaTorah uBrachos Shel HaKohen Gadol B'Yom HaKippurim. The Mishnah at the beginning of the Perek mentioned in the list of things that are to be said in Lashon HaKodesh are the Brachos of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. The Mishnah. Brochos Kohen Gadol Ketzad. How did it take place in the Beis HaMikdash? Chazon HaKnesses Noitel Sefer Torah V'noisno Loi L'Rosh HaKnesses. The Mishnah alludes to different officials in the Beis HaKnesses, we'll say in ascending order of their importance. The Rashi says, Chazan HaKnesses, Shamash HaKnesses, Shetoirach Iske HaKnesses Alov, Lahachnis, Ulahoitzi, Ulahavshit, Es HaTeva, Ulahochin HaKoil. There's a reference here to what appears to be a synagogue located in the Beis HaMikdash. And we speak about in the Beis HaMikdash, according to, we'll say, the Maskonas HaGemara, we're including the area outside the Azara as well. So there was a person who was charged with taking care of the Aron Kodesh in the we'll say Sefer Torah sense, Okay, not to be confused with the Oren Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim containing the Ten Commandments, the Aseres HaDibros, but rather a person who was charged with taking care of a Sefer Torah, bringing it to that location, taking it out, covering the Oren HaKodesh with decorative cloths, and to prepare all that was necessary. And that person is called the Chazan HaKnesses. He would take the Sefer Torah, v'noisna loy l'rosh HaKnesses. He would then give it to another official, who's called the Rosh HaKnesses. He was the one who would decide who reads the Maftir, who reads from the prophets, who will lead the recitation of the Shema, who will lead the recitation of the Shemona Esrei. For Rosh HaKnesses, the Mishnah goes on and says, Noisno Lasgan. He would then take the Sefer Torah that he received from the Chazan HaKnesses and give it to another official called the Sgan. The Sgan is a person who, in the event that the Kohen Gadol would become unfit, could be temporarily defiled, and would not be able to serve on Yom Kippur, he would take over. So he, the Sgan, received the Sefer Torah. It was handed to him by the Rosh HaKnesses. And the Sgan, in turn, Noisna LeKohen Gadol. He would give it to the high priest. The Kohen Gadol, Oimed, Umekabel, Vekoire, and of course we're speaking about a ceremony that took place on Yom Kippur. He would receive the Sefer Torah, and he would read from the Torah text, Achrimos, Vach Beosor, Achrimos, is the Parshas Achrimos in Sefer Vayikra. He wouldn't read the entire Parsha, he would read the beginning of Achrimos, which contains the Psukim describing the Yom Kippur service in the Beis HaMikdash. So he would read from Achrimos the Yom Kippur related Psukim, describing, as we said, the service, the different sacrifices that were unique to Yom Kippur, the Ach Be'osar, and he would then skip ahead a little bit. After Parshas Achrimos, he would skip ahead to Parshas Emor. After Achrimos, you have Kedoshim, and then Emor. It's a very short skip. And read from Parshas Emor, the Psukim that describe the Korbonos that are brought on Yom Kippur. V'goleil es haTorah, he would then roll the Torah shut, he would close it, umanicho b'cheko, and put it on his lap, v'oimer, and then announce, yeser mimashi korisi lefnechem kosuv kan, more than that which I am going to, that I'm reading in front of you is written here. The parsha in Parshas Pinchas, which deals with the Musaf Korbanos, the additional Korbanos that are unique to Yom Kippur, he would read that section al peh. He would read that by heart. The announcement that he made, we'll see, is related to the fact that he's reading this section al peh, while he had let the people know that even though I'm reading it by heart, don't think for a second that it's not actually written in this Torah scroll. It is written in this Torah scroll, but for reasons that we'll discover later, I'm going to be reading this section from Bamidbar by heart. We can tell you ahead of time, but we'll see. That which we'll see in the Gemara is that it would not be honorable for the Tzibur to wait while the Sefer Torah is being rolled from Sefer Vayikra that he had been reading from the text, from Parshas Emor, all the way toward the end of Sefer Bamidbar. A brief pause to allow him to skip from Achrimos to Emor, that's acceptable, because while he is, let's say, rolling ahead, that brief skip ahead, the Meturgimon, the person assigned to explaining the Torah in Aramaic, reciting the Unklus, is still preoccupied with his Aramaic recitation, and the tzibur isn't just standing there doing nothing. So as long as you don't have a tzibur standing there doing nothing, it's acceptable to roll ahead. But to such a long roll ahead as would be required from Sefer Vayikra all the way toward the end of Sefer Bamidbar, that would be unacceptable. So it's we'd rather have it read by heart, and at the same time preserving the dignity of this Sefer Torah, not to think that it's being read by heart, al peh, because it is an incomplete Sefer Torah. Not so, and that is taken care of by his announcement. After the relevant sections are read, Umavorech Olel Shmoyne Brochus, the Kohen Gadol then would recite 8 blessings. The Mishnah lists them off. What is the text of these blessings? So you can see in the Rashi an allusion to what the text would be. But the topics of the 8 blessings are Al HaTorah, V'al HaAvoidah, V'al HaYidoyah, V'al Mechilas HaOvoin, V'al HaMikdosh, V'al Yisrael, V'al HaKoyhanim, V'al Yushalayim, V'ashar Tfila. Let's take a look at Rashi together. We're looking at Rashi on the second line under the Gemara text. Al HaTorah, Brocha Shel Achreha. We say, after one reads from the Torah, Asher Nosalonu Toiras Emes, V'chaye Oilum Nota B'Sochenu, Brocha To Hashem, Noisein HaTorah. That's the Brocha following the Torah reading. V'al Avoda, that is what we say in Shmon Esrei, the Brocha of Ritzei. That's what the Kohen Gadol would say after he read from the Torah on Yom Kippur. He would say that, as we'll say, as an isolated brocha following the brocha la Torah. V'al, Rashi goes on, V'al Hodah, Moedim, the brocha that we say in Shemona Esrei called Moedim, Lefi Shenigmaro HaVodah, V'ein HaVodah, B'lo Hodah. At this point on Yom Kippur, when the Kohen Gadol is reading from the Torah, it's after he completed the Yom Kippur service that's unique in the sense that it's done exclusively by the Kohen Gadol, and you have an entire Masechta dedicated to the topic, Maseches Yuma. This is taking place after he completed the Yom Kippur service. And Rashi makes allusion to a phenomenon that you don't have Avoda that's not accompanied by hodah, by an offering, by a statement of thanks and acknowledgement to the Almighty. Kiramrin Maseches Megillah, as the Gemara in Maseches Megillah, which deals with the order of the Shmona Esrei, and it points out a pasuk Zoyveach Toida Yichab Deneni Achar Zvicha Hodah. The word Zoveach is a reference to Avoda, the sacrificial service, followed by the word Todah. And that's what we just described. After the Brocha of Ritzei, he would then say Modim. Rashi goes on, the fourth Brocha, V'al Mechilas Ha'ovoin. What's the text of that? Ato B'chartonu, what we say in the Shmona Esrei, Shechoseim, the end of that bracha is Molchel, Melech Moichel V'Soleach La'Avoinoisenu V'La'Avoinois Amo V'Chulei, Rashi says, etc., because Rashi is assuming that we're familiar with the text as you find in a holiday Siddur, a holiday Machzor. So it's a well-known text, and that is traced back to the Kohen Gadol in the Beis HaMikdash. What else? V'Al HaMikdash, Mispala HaMikdash V'Choseim B'Voruch Asher Bochar B'Mikdash. This is a benediction that we're not familiar with, and yet Rashi does quote what the closing bracha would be, as we just read. V'Al Yisrael, Mispala Yisrael V'Choseim Boruch HaBoichir B'Amoy Yisrael. He would say a prayer for the benefit of the Jewish people, and the closing of that would be Baruch HaBoi Chibam Yisrael V'chein Al Yerushalayim, and likewise a separate bracha for Jerusalem. And Rashi says V'asecha Soita Yerushalmis Meforesh La, in the Jerusalem Talmud, the parallel Masechta, Masecha Soita there, it is further explained. Now we turn to the Gemara. The Gemara opens with a question. Shamis Mino, should we conclude from our Mishnah a topic that you find under discussion elsewhere? Rashi alludes to a discussion on this topic in Maseches Bava Basra, and here it's referred to as the issue of Cholkin Kavod LeTalmid B'Mokim HaRav. Is there room for showing respect to a greater student by a lesser student in the presence of their rabbi? Is that acceptable? In other words, if you have a group of people leading the group of people, you have the Rav, you have the rabbi, who is clearly the greater of the assembled. But in the group, you also have students, some of lesser capabilities, some of greater capabilities or accomplishments. Is it acceptable for a student of let's say, lesser capacity, lesser accomplishment, to honor a student of greater accomplishment while in the presence of their rabbi? Or is it to be argued that any honor that's shown in the presence, while they're assembled and the rabbi is there, all honor must be directed to the Rav himself? In our Mishnah, it seems that Cholkin Kavod LeTalmid B'Mokom HaRav. And how do you see that? Because you see, this handing of the Sefer Torah from one to the next is an expression of Kavod, expression of honor. And the Sefer Torah is not given directly to the Kohen Gadol, but rather the lesser official gives it to a slightly higher official, who in turn gives it to someone slightly higher. Eventually they get to the Kohen Gadol. The Gemara says that this Mishnah cannot settle that topic. Why? Omar Abaye Kulo Mishum Kvodo de Kohen Gadol Hu. All of the honors being bestowed here could be explained as being single-mindedly an expression of honor directly to the Kohen Gadol. This idea that the Kohen Gadol doesn't receive the Torah directly, but you have to go through many people before you get to the Kohen Gadol, that itself is an expression of how lofty, how honorable the Kohen Gadol himself is. If we would, let's say, put it in common parlance, would say, if you have someone that's really hard to get to, they have to go through a lot of people till you get to that that top official. The fact that you're going through so many underlings isn't necessarily an expression of honor from one underling to a higher underling, but rather it's all a demonstration of how important that final individual is. Let's continue in the Gemara. The Kohen Gadol Oimed Umekabel V'Kurei. Our Mishnah said that the Kohen Gadol then stands up, receives the Sefer Torah, and reads. Omeid Michlal Dioshev. When you say he stands up, it implies that he had been sitting. And this opens up a topic that we entitled on the side, Yeshiva Ba'azorah, being in a seated position while in the Beis HaMikdash courtyard, the Azora of the Beis HaMikdash. So it seems that the Kohen Gadol was entitled to sit there, and when he receives the Sefer Torah, so he stands up. Now, is that so? Michlal de Yoshevu, it would imply that he had been seated. V'omamar ein yeshiva ba'azora elo l'malchei Beis David Bilvad. But do we not have a law that sitting in the temple courtyard is not allowed to any human being except for kings that are descendant from the Davidic dynasty? Shinemar vayovoi hamelech David vayeshev lifnei Hashem vayoymer mi onochi v'chulei. Dovid HaMelech and his descendants, they're the only ones entitled to sit, Lifnei Hashem, to sit there in the temple courtyard. The Gemara answers, Ki de Omar Rav Chisda. As Rav Chisda says later on, Be'ezras Noshim, you'll see that Rav Chisda offers an answer to an issue, and the answer is the Ezras Noshim. It wasn't the official temple courtyard in which the Mizbeach, the altar, was located, but rather it's the women's courtyard that was located further out. Before you, and once you enter the Temple Mount and you ascend the Temple Mount in the direction of the Beis HaMikdash, you reach an area called Ezras Noshim before you get into the formal official temple courtyard. The term Azora is used in that context as well, so that the Kohen Gadol, as the Gemara says, Hochanami be Ezras Noshim. So too here, with regard to the Kohen Gadol and the reading of the Sefer Torah, it took place in the Ezras Noshim, the women's courtyard, whose level of sanctity was like that of the rest of the Temple Mount, that didn't have the sanctity of the inner courtyard, the official Azara, and therefore sitting there was allowed. Meisvei, the Gemara raises a question from the following Tanaic source, Veheichin Koren, but where was the Kohen Gadol Torah reading? Bo Azara, in the courtyard. Reb Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Bahar Habayis. It took place on the Temple Mount, not the courtyard. Shinemar, the Gemara continues at the top of Daf Mem Aleph. Vayikra bo lifnei horachoyv asher lifnei shar hamayim. This is a pasuk that Reb Elazar ben Yaakov cites to indicate that the Sefer Torah was read not in the Azor, but rather on the Temple Mount. So, do we not see then that from this Tanaic source, according to the Tanakhama, we dashed underline the word Ba'azorah, that it was not, it was in the formal courtyard. The Gemara says, Omar Rav Chisda, here we have Rav Chisda, who was cited before, here is where he offers his response, Be Ezras Noshim. The term Azorah is not a reference to the formal Azorah that housed the Mizbeach and the Heichal, but rather the women's courtyard, as we mentioned, which was located further out. As far as what is the machlokes between the Tanakhama and Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, so that one would have to look into. Superficially, it would appear that, according to Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, the Torah reading was even further out, further away, while still on the Temple Mount, but it wasn't even in the Ezras Noshim. That, as we said, issue has to be looked into a bit more, but for our purposes, the question that had been raised from the source on our previous answer is answered by Rav Chisda, that the Kohen Gadol and the Torah reading of Yom Kippur does not take place in the formal temple courtyard, and hence we can understand the word Omeid indicating that he had been sitting beforehand, because at that point, at that location, the Ezras Noshim, sitting is allowed. Before we go, before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.